Sports Show. It's the Wagner Wire, presented by Audiovisual Consultations.
What would you say you do here?
I don't like to brag, but I do a pretty convincing Omar from the HBO program The Wire.
I manage a baseball team.
Little League?
Fantasy League.
All your fantasy sports updates.
Fantasy what?
Fantasy baseball. Got Matsui.
He's worth a million in prizes.
Obviously, you're not a golfer.
Hey, I got a hockey record.
That's interesting, man.
Now, the host from the East Coast. Here's Wax.
That was pretty classy.
All right, hour number two, May 16th. About 79. High at 79. It's just wet. Are you moist out there? As the wetness kind of just sat on your skin? Is this air you can wear, as my man Ricky Cody likes to say?
Is this air that you can wear? That's great. That's great.
That's his quote, man. It's the news guy that Sam and I know, dude. He brings us the news data for TWW weather here.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm telling you, air you can wear.
I think he definitely would be wearing the air today. It's humid out there,
it's
too.
It's a little humid. It's a little misty out there. Slow down. A little... little wet spots out there, little slick spots.
Yeah, you definitely can feel the perspiration. Or is it perspiration?
Key perspiration. It's perspiration. I'm trying to, it's Keith perspiration.
Gotcha.
Like Keith sweat?
You know yes, about? I know exactly Keith what sweat, you're talking Keith about. I see what you did there.
I want your body.
Ah, you bringing the jams this morning.
That's some old school right there. Yeah, hour number two, we are going to get in some NBA. We had the Hall of Fame introductions last night. Class of 2020, what a hell of a class, man. And Kobe is still winning. Kobe is still winning, dude. Yeah. Kobe, and you know, obviously, you know, the highlight name of the marquee. Well, how can you be a highlight of the highlights there of the names going in? Kevin Garnett, Tim Duncan. I mean, this list of just all-time ballers here, all-time hoopers here. To be ahead of that is Kobe Bryant. I mean, that's one hell of a...
Well, we got the highlights.
It's probably one of the best things to have as a hooper, right? To say that you're, you know, a Hall of Famer on top of all these other Hall of Famers. I mean, one hell of a 2020 introduction.
Well, it seems that all ballers, all professional athletes are always playing for a championship first, right? You want to win a championship, and then you want to go down with a legacy. Somebody that people are going to remember forever. And it's one thing to be a Hall of Famer, because there's a lot of great Hall of Famers that we probably can't name, even though that they were terrific players in their day, just because there's so much time that goes between generations, and sometimes things get lost between generations with the history and the knowledge of the game. But when you're somebody like a Kobe Bryant, it's going to transcend generations. Because people are going to be talking about this guy forever. And not because of the plane crash. I know, you know, tragedy tends to stay with the heart longer. You think about stories like Selena or Richie Valens and La Bamba, you know, to die and to be taken away.
The musicians at the age of 27, yeah, all the musicians there.
You can argue in a way like Elvis and stuff. Like, you know, they were gone too soon, and that kind of helped their legacy. Kobe's legacy would have lived on regardless if he had passed away early, just because of everything he had accomplished. And this is just the true crowning achievement, just to kind of put the cherry on top of everything they achieved. But obviously, with the way that he played, he's going to be one of those guys that you will remember forever, like a Wilt, like a Bill Russell,
right,
like a Larry Bird, like a Michael Jordan. That's what Kobe is, and that's what Kobe will always be.
Kim Dwayne Mulkey.
Hey, man, she deserves it.
In there. From Baylor, Kim Dwayne Mulkey.
Three-time national championship coach at Baylor. The first player ever was Kim Mulkey to win the national championship as a player, as an assistant coach, and as a head coach.
Barbara Stevens, she got in as well.
I don't know much about Barbara Stevens. Know a lot about Coach Sutton. Obviously, one of the
winning. Rudy Tomjanovich.
Oh, man. Did you hear what he had to say?
Yeah, that's...
about Robert Horry?
I wish I would have got the clip, but I didn't pull it in time. Well, I had one of those nights last night where I just went to the pantry and I grabbed a box of cereal, started dumping it in my mouth, didn't have much milk, took some milk, then took a whole bunch of chips.
Uh-huh.
And they were Tostitos. No, I'm sorry, they were pita chips.
Okay, a little healthier.
They were pita chips. Didn't even go with the hummus, just dumped them into my mouth.
Okay.
And one of those nights where I just ransacked the pantry.
Yeah, it sounds like it, man. Yeah. You went wild.
Went crazy.
Now I don't feel so bad for having those late night tacos now, because at least mine was planned.
There you go.
Yours was more of an improvisation.
I had planned on bringing some sound in, but no.
Well, I mean, sure. For those that didn't get a chance to listen to it, he did bring up Robert Horry, the guy who has 7 NBA championship rings, and says that he should be in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. And I know we're in Texas, not too far from Houston, so I can imagine the Houston Rocket fans that are listening are already chiming in. Yes, he should be in the Hall of Fame. I know there's some San Antonio Spurs fans, that's not too far away, that will also say, hey, if it wasn't for Robert Horry, maybe Tim Duncan and Tony Parker are missing a ring or two. So, I don't know. I feel that the Hall of Fame is more based on individual achievements, more so than team achievements. And I always see winning a championship as a plus, not a precursor to a great career. You look at somebody like a Dan Marino or Charles Barkley, you can't tell me that those guys aren't great and that they would make any team better and that those guys are Hall of Famers, regardless of the lack of championships. But Robert Horry, you have to give him credit where credit is due. He's hit some big shots and he has 7 rings. Does he belong in the Hall of Fame? That's the question I pose to you and to the listeners out there.
See, I don't know. It's tough. He's clutch. He's definitely clutch. I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer, though.
Yeah, see, and like, but 7 rings. Everybody always wants to put an emphasis on championship rings.
I can't equate that with rings.
But they do that with LeBron and Michael Jordan all the time. They're like, well, how many rings does LeBron have? How many does Jordan have?
I think it's a bad pedigree. I think it's a bad...
it's like, well, this guy has 7.
I think it's a bad criteria to do it. I mean, sure.
I think so, too.
I mean, let's look at Dan Marino. Dan Marino doesn't have any rings, and he's one of the best quarterbacks I've ever seen play the game.
Exactly, but that's just the way that the ball bounces sometimes. It's the luck of the draw. You get put on a good team sometimes, you get the right help, good coach.
Russell Westbrook, I don't think will ever have a ring, and he is going to go down as one of the best hoopers I've ever seen play the game.
That's really sad, because he took a stat in the triple-double that was almost made it seem mundane because of how easily he was pumping these out against the most athletic NBA talent that has ever been assembled on the hardwood. All time. You have the best athletes ever playing in the NBA right now, and Russell Westbrook just became the triple-double all-time leader in NBA history, and he made it look easy.
So this texter just said something really kind of eye-opening. Jay Cutler's numbers, and this came in on the Specs text line, Jay Cutler's numbers are almost the same as Troy Aikman's career numbers. Stats don't lie. I understand that. But would you argue that the game has changed? And that's why, would you say Aikman's numbers hold a little bit more value because of where the game was at that time?
I think you do have to look at it in that case when you're talking about generations, especially in games like this, in the NFL, where there has been a clear change of philosophy, especially offensively. The rules of the game have changed over the years as well. And I'm not talking about the high hits and leading with the crown of the head either, but I'm talking about what the quarterbacks have to suffer now, or the lack of suffrage for quarterbacks now compared to when Aikman was playing. You think about the concussions that Troy Aikman suffered and the times that he was hit after letting go of the ball, those would all be 15-yard penalties and ejections nowadays. So I think that this game has been geared towards the offensive player, hence why you're going to see the numbers go up regardless. And Troy, given the circumstances, played, and I think most people will agree, in a much tougher era, and was playing when a time where the running game was the most important aspect of a football team, and you had a really good one in Emmitt Smith.
I would say, right, exact 100. I agree with everything that you just said there. I'll even embellish just a little bit more. I would say the defense was allowed to play the game a little bit more.
Oh, definitely.
Right.
Definitely.
Like, I'm not trying to take a stab at the NFL, but it is really set up to benefit the offense side.
You know what's funny? Back in 1994, the NFL knew how to use instant replay, and they knew what a catch was, and they knew what pass interference was. It was well defined, and I still can't tell you what a catch is in today's NFL.
Yeah, because I mean, I was pretty sure that Dez called it.
Yeah,
Dez called it. I'm pretty sure that, you know, Megatron also called it as well. And then when he got up in the end zone, he let go of the ball or whatever, and they called that a incomplete pass. I like, it's the continuation rule, the carry through rule, it's complete bull Bogus.
Didn't do it. That was another almost, though.
I called it.
Justin, you're not here every week. We get like two or three almost from Wags every single week.
Well, I mean,
that's a good almost,
it's
though.
It's passion.
I'm a huge Cowboys fan, so that's a, and I'm a huge fan of Dez Bryant, so that almost really hurt. And I really thought Tony Romo was going to get to a Super Bowl. Really thought, but the pieces just didn't come together at the right time.
No, they didn't, man. No, they didn't. All right, so, I mean, obviously you tuned in. Did you watch any of this Hall of Fame introduction?
I caught some of it. Obviously very emotional. It was a cute moment to see Kobe's daughter in his jacket that was meant to be him. And props to Vanessa, obviously going through a lot. You know, I'm sure it was a heavy day.
It's still tough to watch her speak. And she does a great job with public speaking. It's remembering that, oh, my God.
Like, yeah.
She's really gone.
Yeah. And it's just like, you know, Jordan came out, said his piece. You know, everything was really nice. And, I mean, it was a good moment for everything. I think it helped with the closure of, you know, really saying goodbye to him and knowing one of the greatest ever, you know, is left a little too early.
25 points per game. 5.2 rebounds per game. He averaged 4.7 assists per game and 1.4 steals in 20 seasons, Mr. Kobe Bryant.
20 seasons.
That's what longevity.
One team.
Like, if you can, one team.
Yeah, he was a Laker for life, man. That, I mean,
definition of loyalty, man. See, and that's just it. So, like, I can't even say LeBron. Like, even if LeBron gets another cup or another chip with the Lake Show, I can't say that. I don't know if I can just picture LeBron as a Laker. I don't know. Like, LeBron will always be a Cavalier or a Heater. Or a Heatle, sorry.
No, you're right. I mean, his prime was with the Heat, but with what he did with the Cavs and the block, I mean, you could always, and being from Ohio, it's kind of easier to remember him as a Clevelander.
He went back to Cleveland, too, which always gives me like, all right, you're a Cleveland, you're a Cavalier
so
warrior.
I think that's how I would remember him, as more of a Cleveland Cavalier, but you know, the Lakers are the Lakers. I mean, it's showtime. It's L.A. It's the big city, the bright lights, and they've had great players throughout the years. So he'll just be another piece of that history, that illustrious history.
Okay, so now I have two texters making some pretty good points. Jay Cutler doesn't lead those Cowboy teams to Super Bowl wins. I don't know.
Are we talking pre-marriage or after marriage?
Oh.
Because we're talking pre-reality show or after the reality show? Because pre-reality show, Jay Cutler.
He didn't give a damn on the reality show anyways, man. He was checked out regardless with Kristen Cavalier or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is, too, he made his money. He got paid.
That's right.
And to a certain extent, you know, this was the guy that, you know, was kind of a throwback, smoking cigarettes, didn't really care.
Heaters. I got to find that.
Yeah.
Oh, I got to find that.
But you remember,
Blake
right?
Blake Bortles clip.
Yeah. So it's just like one of these things where it's like, yeah, Jay Cutler doesn't lead those Cowboys teams to NFL championships.
I don't know, man. He always had an arm. He had a superior arm. He had tremendous arm talent.
Yeah, I mean, Matthew Stafford has a great arm too, but I'm not sure even with the, you know, now, maybe when he first started, yes.
Stafford's line's top 10. I wouldn't say, but another texter pointed out, like, Aikman's line dwarfed Cutler's. Like, that's absolute. Like, Aikman's line was the superior line for a decade.
It was the prototypical.
Which is why Emmitt was able to run so much.
Exactly. It was the prototypical offensive line that all future NFL offensive lines were built upon. 300-plus pounders that could move, that could block both pass and run. And back in the day, they had a pretty good fullback in Moose Johnson. So
you're a Cowboys fan? Man, Jay Novacek, too? You're a Cowboys fan?
Oh, hell yeah.
See, I'm a Giants fan. So,
I know.
Man, we're pitted against each other in almost every sport.
In almost every sport.
See, I'm happy.
Cowboys connoisseur,
Wags.
I'm
so happy that Jerry Jones came in and did what he did, because if Jimmy Johnson was still there, y'all would still be winning.
I know, man. We should have had a four-peat. Should have had a four-peat with that team.
You'd still be winning. I mean, you guys might have been winning for a decade.
The pre-free agency NFL, yeah, they had a chance. And even after free agency, when Jerry Jones was spending all that money before the salary cap, man, with Deion Sanders, yeah, we should have won four in
a row. All right, let's pivot back to the NBA, man. So we had the NBA Hall of Fame introductions last night, headline in the marquee, obviously Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett. But also, you know, we got to be talking about the NBA playoffs shaping up too. With just, you know, it starts in, you know, this coming up week is the
today.
Play-in games.
Yep.
Or the play-in games are starting today.
Yes, today's the last day of the NBA regular season.
So, I mean, who's your favorite? Do you have any surprise? I mean, right now we've seen the Sixers clinch the East. Is that any that give you any pause with your? Because I don't know if you made the proclamation of the Nets going to represent.
Oh no, not me.
The East. I did. I bought in.
You think you bought in already?
As soon as James Harden went there, I bought in.
I don't know, man.
Oh my god!
Because like, you know, last year everybody made fun of Paul George. We were calling him Playoff P,
sure.
Pandemic P,
right, Pandemic P,
because
right.
He was awful in the playoffs. Awful.
Going on, he was dealing with a lot. People were dealing with a lot.
Yeah,
man.
A couple separated shoulders, having to play for Doc Rivers after, you know, divorcing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We talked about it. Me and Zay talked about
it. Yeah, he was definitely in the deep end of the pool there. But he might rebound with Paul George, but I kind of see that happening for James Harden. Now, I know he had a bit of a renaissance here with Nets, and he's kind of happier and in a happier place, but this is a guy that we've seen, a former MVP of the league, who disappears as the playoff games get more tense. Seen it with the Rockets. Saw it with the Oklahoma team, with the Thunder. And he is probably going to do it with the Nets.
Now, was that a structure of the team, or was that his play?
Now, that's a terrific question, because that Rockets team was built for him to take those final shots.
But that's just it. Did they have enough pieces around him, though? He definitely, you can argue that he has every piece to win. Like, there is no reason. He has no. If he does not get his championship ring this time, he's got no excuses.
Pretty much.
Except he's going up against LeBron. Which,
yeah.
I'm not proclaiming that the Lakers are going to be representing the West, although that's what I think.
It's still a long shot for them in the sense that they are probably going to have to play in the play-in tournament to get there. And that was going to be one of my things about coming in hot.
That was going to be
my last thing.
Go ahead. LeBron.
Exactly. Okay, can ahead. LeBron do it again? Another year older, a year where he's been banged up more. I know AD is going to come back healthy, and when those two are healthy,
he looked good last night.
Unstoppable, because we saw the way they dominated in the bubble playoffs last year. I know everybody on social media calling it a Mickey Mouse ring, that it didn't count. That's a bunch of bull. You know it counted. Those players wanted it, and in fact, we got one of the more entertaining playoffs because of the bubble. I think that added to the atmosphere in the competition when there was no fans allowed, and it really helped the viewing numbers. This year, there's going to be a little bit more normalcy. These guys are playing off of a short offseason. I don't know if LeBron can get them back to the finals.
See.
But he's LeBron.
The Kings, what you just said right there, but he's LeBron, right? That's all you really need to say, dude. The dude came back last night.
Yeah.
Put in 28 minutes in his first night back.
I know, but
20 shot 50% from the field.
But Wags, this is a human being. I don't know what he takes in the offseason.
He's the king, dude. He invests in his body. Like, you even heard Conor McGregor talk about this, right?
Yeah.
Like, Conor McGregor changed his lifestyle of investing back into himself after reading about what LeBron usually does, which is crazy.
Look,
like,
I'm all about
Conor McGregor's taking advice from anybody.
Look, man, I'm all about the cryogenics and the hyperbolic chambers that give you super secret sexy powers and all that good stuff. But in the end of the day, he is still a human being, no matter how athletically superior he has been to other guys.
Has
but
he
he's not
you any reason to doubt him before.
Yes, because he's not Captain America. He's not Superman. He is not a superhero, and it's not super soldier serum.
Am
and
I
he's
the
not
only LeBron lover on this
no,
show?
No, I love LeBron, but at some point, Father Time always wins.
You're right.
He's undefeated, man, and I don't know when it's going to catch up with LeBron. I want him to play like this forever, but we know at some point it's going to end, and he was definitely banged up more this year. I'm not sure if he took off more time because it took more time to heal, or
he was just saving energy. I think he was saving energy. I think he was just taking in the sunshine of L.A., so I don't know.
Because LeBron and I are
there's a lot of distractions out west.
Yeah, and LeBron and I are the same age, and I get it. I don't have... Yeah, but you know, when I think of it that way, I'm just like, yo, man, my knees hurt, my back hurt, and I'm a pretty active fellow, and I try to stretch and recover and eat pretty healthy, but I still ache. I can't dunk, and it hurts to jump. So I can only imagine how LeBron feels after playing an NBA game against 19, 20-year-old kids that are the best at what they do.
Do you walk up... I'm sorry, I'm going to pivot and go away completely.
It's all good, man.
Sam, do you walk up the stairs every day to where we work at, or do you take the lift?
I don't believe I have seen that stairwell more than two times.
My knees hurt just from taking the damn stairs. Like,
oh, yeah.
So I can appreciate that last statement there.
Well,
so.
Like the texter who chimed in who served in the Corps, you put in your time as well, so you shouldn't have to walk the stairs ever.
But you have to, because if you don't use it, you lose it.
That is true.
You know what I mean?
That's so true. Got to keep them flexible.
You got to keep it going, man. But, I mean, my God, like, that's why I think if LeBron is able to keep investing into himself, and I don't think he's going to be breaking down. Like, he's, you've seen him. It's a peer. And when he gets to the playoffs, like, even when he gets to the first round, he's got, like, first round mode.
Yeah.
And then when he gets, he's got second round mode. Then he's got championship.
I know, but he's been doing it for so long. And he's played these extended seasons for so many years, longer than Jordan.
He's so big. He's so fast. He's so tough. Like, that's why, like, usually when he drives into the lane, he's, if he misses the shot, he probably got fouled. Like,
yeah.
Legitimately, he probably got fouled.
Oh, guys are usually hanging on him all the time.
You have to foul him to stop somebody that big and fast.
Usually.
And you've heard me talk about this time and time on this show. The LeBron-Michael Jordan comparison is the biggest waste and trash argument out there, right? First off, they're not built the same. They don't even play the same position. LeBron James is more of a point guard than a shooting guard, more of a power forward than he is a shooting guard. Michael dropped down and played small forward when he went to the Washington Wizards. So that's the only time that he's ever had another position outside of shooting guard.
Yeah.
LeBron James extends the floor. He plays every position out there. Sure, Michael Jordan, number one clutch shooter of all time. Best shooter in the NBA? Steph Curry. Best shooter of all time in the NBA? Steph Curry.
Oh, easily.
Number one clutch shot? Growing up, I'd have to take Michael Jordan.
I mean, you say that, but I mean,
look at what we're seeing now, though, with Steph Curry.
Exactly. I mean, I was like, oh, I don't know. I need a shot from anywhere. I might give it to Steph. I might give it to Dame.
Dame is nasty, too.
Because
there's a lot of good hoopers.
Because we saw how he shot that ball right over Paul George from, like, the logo and got the Blazers to the next round of the playoffs last year. So anything's possible. I mean, it's just a different type of athlete that's playing today's NBA.
Shout out to Kevin Garnett. Anything is possible!
You know, I referenced that yesterday, so it's amazing that you bring that up today. But, yeah, man, he was one of my favorite players growing up, and he helped build a Kevin Durant. We wouldn't have Kevin Durant without a Kevin Garnett.
Correct. So what was your, I guess, best memories of Garnett? In either Timberwolves or was it Celtic?
Oh, no, it's definitely Timberwolves. I grew up playing all those video games, NBA Street,
exactly.
NBA Live, and he was always one of the most dominant players.
Elite, dude. You could not mess with him, man.
Nah.
He had a mid-range jumper. I mean, he couldn't shoot threes, but.
Oh, he can hit him from the corner. but yeah, you're right. I mean, he's an elite shooter from the mid-range at the elbow. He could grab any rebound. He was going to block everybody, and he had quickness. Obviously, he wasn't as big as some of the other big men during the day because he didn't have the weight, but I mean, a superior player back in his day.
I just remember on NBA 2K, back in the day, NBA 2K. Where
old
you play
NBA 2K?
To play the 2v2 tournaments or whatnot to build your character up.
Yeah.
I had to take Kevin Garnett. I would always take Kevin Garnett into the league with me or into the court with me so I could get my guy up.
I know. That was just like free points right there because you knew you were going to win.
It was. All right. We got to take a break. On the other side, we got Al Walsh coming on to talk about all the green that you need in your pocket. It's the Wagner Wire with Justin Simmons sitting in for Isaiah Collier and Sam Pikachu behind the glass bringing you in and off those Austin radio airwaves, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. You stream it live at hornfm.com and on Twitch.
Now, back to the Wagner Wire.
Welcome back to the Wagner Wire on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. Streaming live at hornfm.com and on Twitch. Every segment brought to you, every hour brought to you by Tom McKay and Audiovisual Consultations. I'm trying to find this clip of Blake Bortles talking about the life, right? Like, somebody asked, like, Barstool asked him, he was on Barstool and somebody, I think it was Casey Smith, asked him, what's the life for you, Blake? Like, what would be the life for you besides playing football? He goes, I don't know, like being outside ripping cigs. Like, I have to find this. So let's go to the, I'll look at it while I have Walsh on, while we bring Walsh on and he does his deed. Let's go right now to the Specs text line, 512-337-3776. It's the number for you to call for the Specs text line. But the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline is going to be occupied because my man Al Walsh is jumping on right now. We welcome him to the show. He's the obligatory go-to here. Walsh, do you know what I'm talking about here with this Blake Bortles clip where he's talking about ripping cigs? It's just, I mean, typical Bortles. Like, you used to find this dude on the tiki hut on the Florida beaches right before he would go throw a couple of passes for the Jaguars.
Sure.
This dude, man, he is If I could be like anybody, if I could be a quarterback, what is it with Jacksonville Jaguars? It's Minshew and Bortles. Man, it must be a Jacksonville thing. Anyways, what's going on with Bayon Zone, brother? What's going on with you?
Trevor Lawrence is doomed. we're gonna talk some things here and then head down to the beach for the day.
Well, you got a beach day, huh? What are you guys going? You guys gonna bring a beach ball? You guys gonna bring a kite?
What do you do when you go to the beach, Walsh? What does Walsh do?
So this is a new type of beach day. Typically, you get a 30-pack, you know, and you just hit the sand and you see what happens.
Hey, do you bring a golf club out there and golf balls?
I never have, but, I mean, I'm not going to put anything past myself at this age. So,
all right, Kramer, don't hit it into the whale.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen people do that on South Padre Island, so I wouldn't be surprised that Walsh would do it.
But no, so my mom wants to like check out some places down there. So it's more of like a real estate / beach day. So, you know, not the typical.
Ooh, adult beach day.
Nice, Walsh.
Yeah, I know. It's awkward. It's awkward stuff.
So you're heading down Florida. You're heading down Florida, huh?
I am not. No.
You're staying up Atlantic City beach style.
Yeah.
Oh, right on. Under the boardwalk there. Frank Sinatra, Hoboken.
Oh, might, under the might, boardwalk.
Yeah, run into Ronnie and Sammy down there. You never know.
Hey, man. All right. So what's going on around everything with Bayon Zone in terms of money, man? What's the stuff that we need, the info we need to get the green in our pocket?
So I'm going to be playing some baseball today. I know today's the final day of the NBA season, so there's a lot of things I'd rather just stay away from, and I kind of have been since Friday. Look, we've seen how the last few weeks of the NBA season goes with injuries and whatnot, and this is just kind of a tough situation to handicap, especially when guys are, you know, like teams are actively trying to lose games.
Right,
so,
they're throwing it for sure.
Like, what I mean, look, we could take advantage of that in some regards, absolutely, but I just wasn't dealing with it over the weekend. I'm hoping my Nets get that W and, you know, we get ourselves a 2 seed. So, you know, when we inevitably meet up with the Milwaukee Bucks, we got home court advantage there. So that's really all I'm concerned about on the hardwood today. But I am very excited for the playoffs. I think, you know, this play-in match, the play-in tournament, really going to add some, you know, fire to what was already a good playoff lineup. So I'm very excited about that. But
I got to ask you.
Just can't do it today.
I got to ask you because you're one of the first people I've heard admit this. So you're a true New York Knicks fan. This team has been.
No, he's a Nets fan. He's a Nets fan.
Oh, you're a Nets fan. Okay. My apologies. I thought you were a Knicks fan. I was like, oh, how excited are you that the Knicks are finally in the playoffs? Does it mean anything to you being from that region that they're in the playoffs? Does it mean anything that they're actually good this year?
To me, I mean, it upsets me greatly because I don't want to see them lose. But no, like a lot of my good friends are Knicks fans, and this is the first time that they. I mean, it reminds me of when the Nets were, you know, pretty good a couple years ago.
So, Walsh was in the Garden the night that the Knicks drafted Porzingis and booed.
Nice.
Walsh was there. He witnessed that.
It was actually at Barclays.
Oh yeah, sorry, at Barclays.
No, all good. But, yeah, you know, so I saw that firsthand. Like, the Knicks don't deserve good talent like that. They, like, if that's how you're going to treat your best draft pick in, you know, a decade or whatever. But, nevertheless, it's good for the city, though. Like, everybody is just on their knees praying for a next playoff series because the last time we did this, it was Jay Kidd and, you know, Jefferson and all those guys, and they just put a thumping on the Knicks. You know, in route to the finals, you know, where they lost.
That
but,
big three didn't get I mean, their people, their praise either, man. That was a nice that. Back three. That was a nice big three, mm-hmm. man. That was
and,
a nasty
you know,
big three.
Too, people want that playoff series because, don't forget, you know, everybody thought, you know, KD, Kyrie were going to go to the Knicks 2 years ago or, you know, whatever it was, and they inevitably ended up spurning the Knicks for the Nets, which was probably one of the greatest moments in sports history. But that would be great to see in the playoffs.
All right, man. So what do you like around the diamond today for all the C-Meds out there?
All right, so I have to go against my own Phillies today. They are not doing too well against left-handed pitching. Guy Frank Amarante, you should definitely be following him on Twitter. He's always got good stuff, but I just saw this before he came on. So the Phillies just absolutely getting destroyed by lefties. Pitchers have a 2.80 ERA against them, 1.20 whip. 77 strikeouts over 61 innings. So Robbie Ray, a guy who, you know, the Phillies kind of know a little bit from his days when he was with the Diamondbacks. They saw him a couple times. But nevertheless, Phillies are really struggling. And you know I always love to look at those implied run totals. The Blue Jays got a plus 0.4 bump on their team total, while the Phillies got a minus 0.4. So, you know, we could see that going, you know, in two different directions right there. So I actually wouldn't be opposed to going with Blue Jays money. I'm sorry, Blue Jays run line here. I don't have the odds in front of me, but I'm sure you're going to get pretty good plus money. And again, too, man, Chase Anderson going for the Phillies today. He's been somewhat lucky. The Phillies lost his first four starts, and then now they've won their last three with him on the mound. But he's kind of, you know, he's a pitcher that's waiting to blow up. He's gotten out of a lot of tight jams in the games that I've watched this year. And Blue Jays, you know, I watched both games of this series. They have some really, really amazing bats on that team. So I think they're probably going to put it on the Phillies pretty damn good today.
I mean, okay, so let's talk about the Blue Jays moving forward throughout the season for futures bets or whatever, right, in terms of, yeah, of futures here. You mentioned that they got a lot of offensive powerhouse and firepower there, yeah, but, I mean, do they have the arms to actually sustain this and maybe go the distance to at least compete with some of these AL East clubs? I mean, you look at the Yankees, the pinstripes there. They got Garrett Cole, and they got some, right, pitching that just hasn't, you know, Big John just hasn't really come into play yet there for the pinstripes there. But they have some arms, and it's just all about putting the right pieces together.
Yeah, so, like, we saw before the season, Toronto, like, they really went for it with signing George Springer. You know, they get Hyunjin Ryu. You know, they got some really good talent on that team. But I heard, too, the name's escaping me, but it's a pitcher on the trade block. And whatever. The point is that Toronto, you know, they have enough talent in the pipeline, too, where they can make a deal and then bring another arm in, which I think they're going to do at some point. Again, the name is escaping me right now who could potentially go there. But, you know, I know before the season they were trying to get Zach Wheeler, you know, pitchers of that sort of caliber in. So I wouldn't be shocked to see them add one before the deadline.
It's been super impressive that they've been able to have the success that they have had while not being able to play at home as well. So I've been really surprised with the season they've had.
Yeah, and so they're playing in Dunedin in Florida, right outside Tampa. And again, I've been watching the games this last weekend, and it's definitely weird, you know, watching these games in a spring training park. But I guess on Friday night there was a problem with the glare from the sun.
So, something, you know, like that.
Yeah, it was supposed to be like a very high-scoring game on Friday, and it was like 1-0 going into the seventh inning before it finally turned up, you know, again, with the sun going down. So there's some advantages that they probably have, you know, doing with that in place of, you know, not having a home bed to sleep in.
Now, admittedly, I'm not a huge baseball guy. The Texas Rangers haven't given me too much to cheer about over the last decade. But let me ask
you. It's a young season.
It's a young season. Let me ask you this. How excited are you about the ability of Shohei Ohtani, but how concerned are you that the Angels might waste his talent?
That's a good question. I mean, it's hard to believe that they're in last place. I actually kind of like them today. I'm glad that you brought them up. I like them today against the Red Sox. I think that they're going to try to – well, obviously, they're going to try to, you know, do well in this matchup. But I do like him today against Evaldi. You know, sort of a situation, probably don't think that they're going to do well. But, you know, eventually, this is kind of the theme with the Angels. Like, they just don't usually have enough pitching. And I don't know if the Angels are really wasting Ohtani because, you know, they need every single,
right,
you know, talented pitcher that they can get. That's been their downfall for years now. So, you know, instead of getting a big arm a couple off seasons ago, they go ahead and get Anthony Rendon for over 200 mil. So, you know, their priorities are with hitting, but eventually they need somebody to pitch. But no, I don't think that they're wasting. I think, you know, they're just utilizing what they got.
Hey, Walsh, a club that, you know, that Rangers fans usually do pay attention to, and it's really because we dread them, is the Oakland Athletics. What do you like today going to, you like them today against the Twins?
They're my step team.
Oh, great. Right?
The yeah, no, I'm a big A's guy.
Great.
you know, I they're a lot of fun to watch. You know, they got a lot of good players. But yeah, going to be tough today, of course. Kenta Maeda, you know, I think probably not hitting, you know, as well of expectations as we thought. But this is, you know, this is a matchup we could very well see in the playoffs with these two teams. You know, both really going to make some noise down the stretch. But today, I mean, I don't have a particular lean on the game. I think, you know, it's about as even as it gets. Maybe a slight lean to the Twins. I guess I prefer Chris Bassitt when he's pitching at home as opposed to on the road. So probably a slight lean Twins today, but not something that I'm, you know, very very confident in, I guess you could say.
You know, I don't mean to delve into the feelings so much on this Sunday morning, but I do have to ask you, a report came out I saw on social media earlier this week that the Oakland Athletics, obviously the big thing there is that they've been wanting a new stadium for years. Now that the agreement lease is up, they're looking to move. And I just kind of want to get your thoughts on it. This is a team with tremendous history, but this is also a team that historically has moved around a lot, but they have seemed to make a home in the Bay Area, and they have created some fantastic moments while there. Could you picture this franchise moving? And if so, to where?
Yeah, I think Vegas would probably be the most natural landing spot. Just got the Raiders, you know, within the last couple of years, had the Golden Knights. Everybody's starting to kind of warm up to the idea of sports betting. So I think that just kind of makes sense. I know there they did a poll out there, and Vegas was one of the top ones, but Nashville was another city that that could potentially be. But, you know, then you got to start doing some realignment because I don't know. I mean, maybe it would work because you still got Texas, Houston, there in the AL West that are right there, which isn't too far. So I don't know. I'm sure that they could make it work in either regard, but I would like to see Vegas. I feel like Vegas should have. I feel like they should have a.
That's
an NBA
where I'm at. I feel like they got the natural landing spot.
Yeah, I mean, Vegas is just such a cool city. So. And again, too, with everybody, you know, I mean, I can't even name a sports franchise that doesn't have a deal with a sports book or something like that nowadays. So, you know, it just seems like the right fit there. Now, it would be hot as hell down there in Vegas. You got to get a roof, but still, you can do it.
Hey, Walsh, there's a pretty good pitcher's duel going on today around 1:10 against or with the Rangers and the Astros here. You got Kyle Gibson going up against McCullers, Lance McCullers here. McCullers 3-1 with an ERA of 3.10, and then you got Gibson there, perfect on the season. 3 wins to his name with 2.28 as a ERA. What do you like out of this one?
Man, big fan of both guys. I mean, I guess I would have to say the under. I hate doing it in Houston at that ballpark.
Yeah, under's only 8, man.
Yeah, but you know what they say, man. If it's that low, it's there for a reason, or you know, whatever. If it's high, it's there for a reason. Look, I'm not thoroughly impressed by the Rangers' bats this year. You know, we were kind of talking about them earlier, but you know, I think that was what last night where they were cruising right to the under, and I think and then like Joey Gallo hit a 3-run homer there at the end, but. I would probably go with the under here. Both pitchers pretty damn good, and it's funny, you know, Astros last 5 they won, Rangers last 5 they lost. So yeah, maybe even get a streak breaker here.
All right, what's some other things that you got in your bag today for the seam hits?
The other game I was looking at was the Brewers over the Braves today. You know, it's pretty much a pick 'em in this matchup. Freddie Peralta is going for the Brewers. He's been fantastic at home. So, again, Peralta, not necessarily a guy that I always have the most faith in, but I'm going to do it. It's going to be at home. And the Braves won the first 2 games of this series. So, you know, I hate to give that lazy analysis of their due, but, you know, they're at home this weekend, you know, in the series against the Braves. And I think they're going to pull out a win here today on Sunday. And, again, you're getting pretty good odds here. It's basically a pick 'em, so you don't have to lay too much money or anything like that. Like, that's the kind of situation that we try to look for a lot. So I definitely going with the Brewers there.
Now, a question to you for these two clubs. I know these aren't your particular clubs that you follow a lot, but I mean, I'm sure you see a lot more Braves because you know, you're an advocate follower of the Phillies there. But are you shocked a little bit that these two clubs in particular are only around 500?
In a weird way, no, because remember the MLB Pacoda rankings came out, and Atlanta was put in fourth. And this is before they threw one pitch this season. And, you know, these Pacoda rankings have been very good. So, that's just been something I kind of been looking at. And to be honest with you, here in this series, like, I just feel like the pitching's not going to be able to hold up, and they legitimately will be in fourth place when it's all said and done in the division. But I kind of sometimes throughout the season, like if I see the Braves are doing pretty well, I'm like, all right, well, they have to come back down to earth at some point.
Right.
I know Acuña has been hurt on and off. I know this because he's on my big money fantasy team. So like, you know, he's had two pretty scary injuries already this year. And, you know, I guess they haven't been awful yet. But, you know, just seeing those two, it's like, all right, when's the next one going to happen? And how bad's that going to be? So if Acuña is going to be out, you know, for Atlanta, and he does, then, of course, this team's going to take a dip because he's a 40-40 type player. But, yeah, I think eventually – and then the Brewers, I feel like, you know, the Brewers have some surprisingly really good arms. They got a guy, Devin Williams, in their bullpen who last year was absolutely lights out. And, you know, he hasn't really been able to put it together this year. So when he gets going, that's scary. You know, Corbin Burnes, you know, who's been lighting it up for the Brewers. Guy's been throwing all these innings without, you know, pitching a walk. So I imagine the Brewers are going to fall a couple games below 500 when it's all said and done. But, yeah, the Braves' impending doom is kind of – it's cool. It gives
them – I like that, impending doom. I like that.
Yeah.
You must be a writer or something, Walsh. I don't know. Hey, all right, one more quick one for me, man, and then I guess I'll get whatever's left in your bag. But just a selfish plug, or shameless plug, rather, or selfish question from myself. Orioles going up against the Pinstripes today. You got Big John Means on the mound. Undefeated so far, 4 wins, no losses, with an ERA of 1.21 going up against some of the biggest bats in the league. Jordan Montgomery on the other side of there of the bump with a 2-1 record, posing an ERA of 3.96. Do you like the birds in Birdland today?
I do. I'm a big fan of John Means. Somebody in my fantasy league tried to trade me, and I just thought he was asking for too much in return, like Austin Meadows and Verdugo from the Red Sox. And I was like, look, I'm giving up two everyday players for somebody who,
only goes out there
once every 5 days, and then his next start he throws that no hitter. So what the hell do I know? You know. But no, I mean, look, he's been unbelievably impressive. He just pitched a really good outing against the Mets his last time out. So, yeah, I mean, look, you got to keep it up against the really tough Yankees lineup inside the bandbox that is Camden Yards. But it doesn't matter. See, you know, whatever setting this guy's been in this season, he's been amazing. He's only allowed 27 hits in 52 innings. Wow.
Yeah, he's got some no-touch stuff, man.
Oh, it's unbelievable. So, yeah, and then 53 strikeouts in the 52 innings. Guys look great. So, yeah, I think, you know, Sunday afternoon, you're probably going to have a lot of Yankees fans that made the trip down to Baltimore. Probably going to be a lot of them in the building, but hopefully Means could keep them quiet. And I think you very well could.
By any means possible. I like it, Walsh. Hey, anything else in that bag that we need to get out there for our wages?
I don't have anything. I think look out in the coming week, because once these NBA playoff matchups are set, I'm probably going to do a little, top three series bets that you can make.
Nice.
They're the most profitable. I know we got to go through the play-in tournament and stuff like that as well, but I'm really looking forward to the playoffs. And I told you, once NBA goes to the playoffs, I don't have to do as much analysis, you know, because the matchups are there already. So that means more baseball, and that's always good.
I thought your analysis really included you just crushing a beer cannon and flipping it and seeing if it lands on, you know, heads or tails. You actually go in more in depth than that? I'm shocked.
A little bit.
I'm shocked.
A little bit.
All right, brother. Hey, man. Good stuff as usual, man. It's Bayonne Zone, Al Walsh, the obligatory go-to here on the Wagner Wire for all the green that you need in your pocket. Whether it's talk for all you seam heads or the hardwood there, you know, he's got you covered, man. He's even got you gridiron. Even some WrestleMania nose booger pickers like Justin over there.
That's what I'm talking about, man.
He's even got you covered on that, man.
People bet on it.
He's got money on the sun coming up, man. What you got? What do you got?
Let's go Hogan.
Go Hogan. There he goes. All right, Walsh, we'll talk to you next week, brother. Always the best. Best in the business, man. You can find him on Twitter at 14a.walsh. And again, man, he'll answer any question you have in terms of getting green in your pocket, in terms of money, maybe monetary purposes and party favors as well. All right, don't go nowhere. It's the Wagner Wire on 104.9 The Horn, 101.9 AM 1260. Stream it live at hornfm.com.
Now, back to the Wagner Wire.
Oh, man. Welcome back to the Wagner Wire on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. Streaming live at hornfm.com. Putting a bow on hour number two right now. I don't even know what to make of this. About an hour ago, the score tweeted out something that Kyrie Irving quoted something from Kyrie Irving. Excuse me. Basketball, not the most important thing to me right now.
That's always been Kyrie.
Sure. But, I mean,
going
into the playoffs.
This would have been a terrific question to ask Walsh.
I wish I would have seen this before I would have got Walsh on there.
But I would imagine if I was the sports fan and one of my best players on my favorite team who's getting paid a lot of money says that, I know it could be difficult, but you just never know what's going on in a person's life.
And Kyrie's, Zay and I talk about this a lot. Like, Kyrie is huge on mental health. This show is an advocate of mental health, too. Like, you just never know. You always ask your homies, hey, man, you doing okay? You ask them the hard questions, right? You say, hey, don't do anything stupid. Make sure you call me if you find yourself in a dark place or something like that. And that goes for everybody out there listening to the show, by the way. If you ever feel like you're in a dark place, by the way, you ever feel like you just need somebody to talk to, hit me up on Twitter. Not the fake wags. Come into my DMs. I'll give you my number, man. We'll call him. We'll chop it up. I know how important it is to actually talk and just clear your mind and get some stuff out there. Now, don't flood me. Like, I'm here. I'm saying that. I'm joking. Like, I'm here.
Yeah, they want the picks. You got to pay.
Yeah, if you want the picks, if you want free info, that's not going to happen. But if you want an ear, if you need some help, if you need somebody, to help you, get you into the right facility or the right avenue of approach to somewhere, hit me up, man. I'm always there for you. I'm always there for everybody, man. I would appreciate, everybody being there for everybody. It just makes the world.
Yeah, everybody
better.
Always feels a little bit alone in this big city, man. In this big world. But
especially
the truth is, you're
this
not.
Year, after this year, man, exactly. You're not alone. So many people are thinking just how you're thinking,
yeah.
Too, man. A lot of uncertainty out there. So if you ever have those questions or whatever, remember something. And I tell my kid this every day, too, right? Did you know that I'm your biggest fan? Did you know that everybody out there, everybody really loves you?
Man, like, that's difficult as a teenager, man. Because, you're always
it's
in
tough,
that mood.
Bro.
It's like, nah, Dad, stop that. But
it's tough.
But he'll look back at it in a few years and be like, thanks, Dad. I really appreciate that.
Hopefully, be there for your people, man. That's pretty much the message of this past segment right now. Be there for your people. We're there for you. You're there for us, man. Always on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. We'll see you guys on the other side of it. Don't go nowhere.